My topic today is building a response program in your community. And what I hope to do is to break the presentation into two areas. I want to talk about four areas of personal development, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of the community programs that we have in our community. The book Community Chaplaincy, I love acronyms, so UNITY, Understanding Needs in the Yard. When we were kids, I grew up in the Bahamas. Our parents would tell us, stop playing in the house and take it in the yard. So the idea of community chaplaincy is that our ministry is outside the four walls. Sheen and I, we're in our 41st year of pastoring, and in December, 43 years of marriage. And over the period of time as a pastor, there is a tendency as a pastor to become more management focused. Us four, no more. Let's take care of the responsibilities within the house. So this book was written from the perspective of when Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 5, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. We're not going to dive into that, but the concept then is grassroots chaplaincy. What do I mean by that? Some of us might be chaplains with the rodeo. That's our community. Some of us might be chaplains with the hospital. That's our community. Some of us might be chaplains with the prisons. That's our community. But the concept of grassroots chaplaincy is that whenever you walk out of your house, you're there to serve any and all. So I was in South Africa last year, and God began to download some of this in my life. It's in the material. But Sheena and I, whenever we travel, we'll travel in one of our chaplaincy uniforms. We work with about four different organizations. Now, we travel not to get through TSA without a pat down, not to get a favor to get a front seat. We travel for recognition, and so that they can recognize that we are chaplains. A few months ago, we were in Miami, and we were going through TSA, and an elderly gentleman tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Chaplain, I haven't been through a machine like that. I haven't flown in 30 years. So I said to him, watch how your wife goes through the machine. Watch how my wife goes through the machine. Watch how I go through the machine, and we will cheer you on from the other side. So he came through the machine, got to the other side, and he was physically shaken, and he started to tie his shoelaces. And so I untied mine and started to tie mine at his pace. When it was completed, he got up, tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Thank you, chaplain," and he walked off. His wife looked back and she whispered, "Thank you both for your love and care." And so we talk about ministry of presence as chaplains. We go into an area and we just listen. What God began to download in my life wasn't the ministry of presence, but I flipped it, presence of ministry. Grassroots chaplaincy, being able to be identified so that you can be approached. Any and all. There was a shooting at our community bank, and the manager asked me to come in and work with the teller. Any and all. So we're not in a particular group, but the only thing we might have in common with our community is that we all have been created by the same God, grassroots. So I want to take a look at anybody. If you know me for a short period of time, I am a nut for acronyms. And so when I thought about how can we teach this, and I just got back from Zambia, Southern Africa last month, and we taught this to 1,400 pastors and 60 members of the defense ministry. And hopefully we'll be back in November. I asked God for an acronym. Now, you remember in the scripture of Matthew, if you can find it, if you know it, somebody will buy you coffee afterwards. But in Matthew 13, or 5 and 13, Jesus says what? We are the salt of the earth. He didn't say, I want you to act like salt. He didn't say, I want you to act like light. He said, you are. That is your DNA. When we got into town from Fort Lauderdale yesterday, we requested an Uber. Anybody else came by Uber? Man, I found something out yesterday that I never knew about Uber. So we got the Uber driver. His name is Tara. And we got into the vehicle, and he just started talking. He talked about he's an exchange student from a different country. He has no family here. He's lonely. Sometimes he gets depressed. And I'm thinking, oh, this is unusual. And then he said to me, do you know why I feel free talking to you? I said, please tell me why. He said, you have a 5-star rating. I said, what are you talking about? Do you know that we rate Uber drivers and Uber drivers rate customers? So if your Uber didn't show up, it's probably because you had a bad rating. So I said, what is my rating? He said, you are 5-star. And here's how they have explained you. You are warm, you are friendly, and you tip a lot. Okay. So I was warm, I was friendly, I tipped him on the app, and I gave him some money in his hand. So we get out of the Uber, and Sheena says, honey, you know, you got to always continue to tip. I say, what about being warm and friendly? So basically, what I'm trying to say is that Uber had profiled me because of my behavior. And because of my behavior, he felt comfortable enough to tell us about his loneliness. Man. And then he said at the end, after we talked about chaplaincy, he said, listen, I believe I'm now going to have a blessed day, and please keep us in prayer. Yeah. Being the salt of the earth. So S. Now, you know, this is the personal development piece. So I might say some things that might pinch you a little bit. But Grammy used to tell me that the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. Remember when Grammy said that? The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. So S, seeing your community with cleansed lenses. Wow. Man, you know, I'm in my 60s. I'll be 65 in September. And so I've seen a lot in life. And when I was 13 years old, I had a summer job, and I used to sell cameras. And the most important thing for a camera, we had tourists that would come in on the cruise ships, and they wanted to buy filters for their lenses. Now, what does a filter do? It hinders light from coming in, and it changes how we see stuff. All of us here, besides the young lady in the back, we have some mileage on our lives. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Some of us got a little more than others. But we would have had some disappointments. we would have had some failures. We would have had some setbacks. We would have experienced some things and done some things that have formed filters on our lenses. Shane and I originate from the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And there are two major events in the Bahamas while I was growing up. 1967. Anybody was born in 67? Yeah. Three. Oh, hallelujah. I got some company. In 1967, the Bahamas experienced what we call majority rule. 93% of the population is black, 3% is white, and 4% is mixed. So for the first time in 150 years, Parliament was ran by the majority. I was 8 years old, and I would run home from school every day, about 2 miles away. And one day I was running home from school and coming through a track road, and some boys beat me up and said, "The country now belongs to us. You have no value." At 13, we got our independence from Britain. And I was coming home from my summer job, and I got beat up again. And they told me the country belonged to them, that I have no value. Right after that, I became an amateur boxer, and I've never been beat up since. But, you know, I mean, that's true. I mean, it's honest goodness truth. But what began to happen for me is I started to get a fear of rejection. I have a birth certificate that is this big, and it has mix on it. So I come from a multicultural and racial background. I got Seminole Indian, I got African. When I'm happy, it's the Irish. And when I'm mad, it's the German. So I got all of that inside of me. So when the Lord called me into ministry, I prayed and said, "Father, how can I minister with a fear of rejection?" That was a filter on my lens. I proposed to us, in the Bahamas, we call sunglasses, we call them shades. When you put shades on, it changes how you see. I propose to all of us that part of our personal development is to ask the Holy Spirit in progressive sanctification to help us identify and help us remove the filters that are on our lenses so that we can see. I propose that we have to lift Christ above culture. We have to lift Christ above politics. We have to lift Christ above everything else, and we have to see our world through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? That's a process. And throughout our lives, that becomes a continual process. But I want to see my community through the eyes of Christ. You know, in our first session this morning, we heard about seeing, being able to see. Think of your role as a chaplain. How do you really see your community? How are you really looking at life? I'm telling you, this, like I said, this is some personal stuff. So when we became U.S. citizens, we applied for our passports. And normally on the passport, I mean, normally on files, there's a category called other that you can tick, but it's not on the passport. So the lady said, "Sir, you got to choose an ethnic group." I said, "Ma'am, why don't you choose it for me?" And she went ahead and she chose it. Now, I'm not going to tell you. I put it in the book. If you write me, I'll tell you. But she chose it for me, and that was proof to me that God had cleansed my lens. I wish I had a witness in the house. So how do I see? And then we come to, how you spell salt? S-A-A, yeah. A is I must approach my community with compassion. I pastor in Key West, and Reverend Franklin Graham was in my office a few years ago, and he said, "Johnny, what can I do for you?" I said, "Come back and preach for me." So 2 years later, he came back with the amphitheater, and we were going to have a service. That morning, I'm sitting in a local restaurant with some chaplains who are going to work the crusade, and a guy comes by and he throws the local newspaper at me. And the front page, Reverend Franklin Graham and Pastor John Kerry combine forces to bash gays. Front page. The city predicts only 300 people will show up and there'll be 70 protesters. Got there that night, there were 70 protesters. 1,800 people showed up and 200 got saved. But now I'm back in the underground newspaper. A year goes by. Every Thanksgiving, we give out a turkey in a box with all the fillings that can feed a family of eight. We give out 125 boxes. I was $1,500 short, and I was tucked away in my office on a Monday morning, and I was basically praying in the 1500. My daughter comes and she says, "Daddy," she's my secretary, she says, "Daddy, the president of the Gay Lesbian Association is out front to see you." I said, "Baby, give me 10 minutes. Let me try to think about what I preached yesterday." I said, "What the world did I preach yesterday?" And I said, "Nah, man, I can't understand why they upset with me again." So I said, "Anyway, Joy, just let him come in." He sat down and he said, "Now, Reverend Kerry, we know you don't believe in how we live, but you have shown us that you love us." He said, "Here's a check." And he was handing me the check. "See your book? Hold your book." You know, when somebody, you know, when you're a pastor and somebody giving you a Pentecostal envelope and they won't let it go. So that he's giving me this thing and we're talking. I'm saying, "Buddy, just let it go. And so he finally let it go. He left. I opened it up and it was a check for $1,500. Only me and God knew the amount. We have to approach our community with compassion. How do you spell salt? S-A-L. L. We have to listen to understand. The greatest, the most difficult challenge I had transitioning from pastoral counseling into chaplaincy is to realize I don't have the answers. Our oldest granddaughter, 16, she's a member of the U.S. Navy Sea Cadet Program. She got her bronze wings for flying when she was 14, but she's going to take her pilot's exam when she's 16. So we talked about Sabbath earlier today. My Sabbath during football season is Saturdays. I'm an Alabama fan for 50 years. Roll Tide. Yeah. 50 years ago, we lost against Notre Dame 23-22 in the Sugar Bowl. So she says, "Pappy, I have to go to the gun range." So I drove her to the gun range out of town. She went in and came out in 15 minutes. She sat in the car. She started to open her mouth, and I said, Stop. "Do you know the effort that I'm making to bring you up here? Do you know that you need to really get serious about what you're doing? Do you know that this is my Saturday and my football day? What is wrong with you young people?" The instructor comes out and he says, "Bishop Kerry, guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "Your granddaughter is the second best sharpshooter in the whole county." So I looked at her and she says, "Pappy, if you had shut up, I would have told you." Have you ever sat with somebody who was formulating their rebuttal while you were talking? Huh? It's like, "Dude, man, let me finish. Show me that you care. If we're ever going to affect change in our communities of ministry, we have to listen to understand. So that when we do speak, our answers are better articulated to a solution rather to our thoughts. S-A-L-T. Thank you. I didn't do well in English class. Touching our community with virtue. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She couldn't get to the church. She was forbidden to go to the church because she had a 12-year crisis. But the church pastor, Jesus' grace and mercy, was walking by. Hallelujah. And she said, what, if I could just touch the, what, hem of his garment. All my pastoral life, I thought that meant if I could just reach out and touch any place. And then I did a real study on it. You remember Aaron? The oil was poured on his head. It went down to his garment, and it collected in the hem. She said, I mean, Chaplain Mike talked about this in the last session. She said, if I can touch where the anointing settles, I'll get my healing. The anointing was both settled and moving. That's chaplaincy. The anointing has settled in us, but we are mobile. Can people touch us and virtue leave us? Can we touch others and be his hands and feet extended? You are the salt of the earth. Anybody got the time? What time is it? 3:35. So I got 20 more minutes. So really want you to think about those four areas of your life. Are there any things that any filters that God needs to remove from my lenses? Last election, I lost 3 members of my congregation because they went online and they searched what I registered as. You know, you could do that, right? You can find out how people registered. Did you know that? Yeah. So I registered as an independent. So they said, because I registered as an independent, I have to be a Democrat. I don't know what that means. So in the exit interview, that's what they told me. We're leaving the church because you registered as an independent, which means that you're really a Democrat and you ought to be a Republican. And I said to them, my allegiance is to the kingdom of God. However, vote your affiliation and then pray for whoever is in power. Isn't that kingdom? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Some folks have a difficulty with that, and that might be a filter that needs to be taken off. In chaplaincy, disaster response, you know what my biggest problem was? I found it hard to minister to rich people. That was my hang up. You go into a disaster zone and a rich community, and I said, man, they got money in the bank. They could rebuild. And God had to help me to understand that they had trauma and needs just like the poor guy. Now, that's my confession. We're not taking confessions today, but that's my confession. God had to heal me from that prejudice towards wealthy people in a crisis. I'm going to move on, but I want you, if you're taking notes, mental, phone, or writing, just write down one thing that you think needs to be cleansed from your lens. Now, let me move on. I believe in every butterfly, there are caterpillar struggles. Yeah. When Nehemiah wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he wanted to rebuild it because safety, society, and economics was being affected in that community. I think that's the three cries today also: safety, commerce, and government. And when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, the scripture says that everything around the walls was better. Even the sewer system was better. Man, that's vision. Isn't that vision? And so God has called us to be watchmen on the wall, and he's called us to be gatekeepers in our communities. He's called us to take it in the yard. In 2017, Hurricane Irma hit Key West on my birthday. Afterwards, we went around and we had a little bit of food and we had a big 20-foot trailer of water that you had to pump out. When all the food was over, a casual pastor friend of mine had a 20-foot trailer. So I pulled up next to him and I said, "Pastor, you got a 20-foot trailer of food. I have water. Let me put the water here, and as they get the food, we can pump the water. Doesn't that sound like a good system?" You know what he said to me? He said, "Johnny, you Pentecostals are only good for one thing. Take your water back to the church and baptize people with it." So I knew he was joking. So I just stood around waiting for, and he said, "You haven't gone yet?" It hit me. I didn't know the caterpillar struggles of the church I was pastoring. I didn't know how the community viewed us. So I walked away and I said, "God, I don't mind being embarrassed, but please don't let me come to shame." Got back to our church, and there was a bunch of people sitting on the office porch. Orange shirts and blue shirts. Billy Graham, Samaritan's Purse. And they said to me, "We would like to go in partnership with you and set up our disaster response at your church. Do you need to get permission from your board?" I said, "My board left town, and my phone doesn't work." And so for 12 weeks, we housed 80 volunteers and had 2,200 volunteers come through our doors. We gave out 435 pallets of food that we got from Convoy of Hope. After that, I doubled back around to the pastor and gave the best gift you can ever give, the gift of forgiveness. And I said, "God, our church will become salt and light in this community." So we started to do a few things. We have a few programs. Some of the things that we do, if you got your book, look at page 69. We started to redefine our steps. We started to do a few things, and then in 2022, Chaplain Mike came down and we implemented the 461 response. We all know what 461 response is. But what we did is we tweaked it for our location. Chaplaincy ministry is not a cookie cutter. Every one of us have a different yard. We have to know the uniqueness of our yard. Some things you do in Ohio is not going to work in Key West. So we do some assessments. I do what's, you know, I do the old-fashioned SWOT analysis: strengths, opportunities, weaknesses, threats. And I do it from a biblical perspective. I also assess our community by putting an ear to the ground. I joined the best local community Rotary Club. I joined the one where all the business people go to, the chief of police. That's the one I join. Why? Because every Thursday I get a good meal and I can hear what some of the concerns of our community is. We're in the world, but not of the world, but we better have some influence. Then I listen to the community talk shows. I listen to the folks in church. I listen to the school council find ways to assess what's going on in your community. For heaven's sake, don't listen to those big TV things. NBC, ABC, you know, some of them. You're going to get it, you know. CNN, constant negative news. You want to listen to the heart of your community, which means you might have to join something. You cannot influence until you connect. We got to connect in order to influence. You know, we cannot operate in a bubble and expect we're going to add value to our community. You with me? And so we did all of those assessments. Mike came down and did a fantastic job. And so here's what we did. Our caring community, in September 2022, there was a hurricane that came past us and went into Fort Myers. The mayor of our city was so afraid that the blue shirts and the orange shirts will come in that we would not declare the disaster zone. So we had to respond from our church. Somebody gave us $20,000 worth of gift cards. We had a bunch of food from Publix. So I called all the other churches together. I said, let's give out food with all of our names on the box. Why? Because God has not called us to compete, but to complement and to complete. 25 years ago, I made a mistake. Anybody ever made a mistake? Yeah? One, two. Oh, my goodness. Boy, Assemblies of God. Yeah, I remember we used to say Assemblies of God, all the gospel. That's what we used to. I'm sorry, though. Some of us make mistakes. I got up and I said, God has given our church the city. And the Holy Spirit said to me, write all the other churches and tell them shut down since you got the city. No, God has given the church, his church, the city. So I got all the other pastors together and said, let's put our names on the boxes. You give it out to the people that you have contact with because we're going to share the load and give God all the glory. Sheena runs the 461 Response Loaves and Fishes Ministry. Every Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 12, we give out bread, sweets, food items, and now Publix has given us meats to give out. In Key West is 40% higher to live than the average place in Florida. So some of our clients are working families that can't make ends meet. We give it out. The last few years, up to $100,000 a year in food items from a church of 100 people. Our daughter was working for one of the schools, and she had a situation where a young man in grade 7 was an A student, and the last 8 weeks of school, he failed every class and had to come to summer school. So she said to him, why did you fail? What happened? And he said, Miss Joy, I failed on purpose so I could have two meals a day during the summer. That's not Zambia. That's not Timbuktu. That's Key West. That's Key West. That family is on our food program. See? Loaves and fishes. On Sundays, we take 20, 25 hot meals to seniors in our community after the church service. No pictures can be taken. Nothing posted on Facebook because we're going to keep their dignity intact. That's community chaplaincy. I currently serve as the chairman, Mike didn't know this one, the chairman of Juvenile Justice Faith-Based Program for Monroe County. What does that mean? We develop alternative programs for at-risk youth, faith-based. So we have a program at our church called STEPS. Mike committed an infraction, and he's 15. and he comes to the STEPS program. He goes through 4 months of STEPS. The main book that we use is a teen book that I wrote on the life of Joshua, Ancient Steps for Modern Day Success. Mike goes through the four-month program. He does community service hours. His probation officer comes. We sign off, and his record is expunged. The church in the community. Oh, Lord have mercy. Huh? Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? We're in a memorandum of understanding now with the Department of Education. 83% of the students who are suspended from our high school come from single-parent families. So they're suspended, and they're rewarded by being home with no accountability. So if my church board, pray with me, can buy into it, next month, August, the students who are suspended, the students who cannot go back to the mainstream school, will have class at our church. The Department of Education will provide the teachers. The Department of Education will provide the monitor. We will provide the chaplain. And we will be working with kids that cannot get back into the mainstream school. 4-6-1 response. I wish I had a witness in the house. Wish I had a hallelujah in the house. And so what we did with 4-6-1 response, we said, okay, we're ready to respond to a disaster, but there's always a crisis. So we have to have ongoing programs that will allow us to have ministry in our yard. The second part of that book that you have, some years ago, I was a consultant for Earmark, the food service company, and they had changed their vision from service to unlimited partnerships, but the job descriptions didn't change. So I was a consultant, and we helped them write the 7 roles of a brand manager, and out of that came the 5-R circle process. So the 5-R circle process in the back of the book helps you to pull together your core team for whatever your chaplaincy ministry or your church might be. Look at the shifts and challenges that you face. A challenge is a hurricane comes, we lose part of our facility that produces a shift. So shifts can produce challenges and challenges can produce shifts. If those shifts and challenges are not accommodated within your present vision, then your vision has to be rewritten. That workbook will help you rewrite your vision with your major areas, your action steps, and something that I call hinge statements. It takes at least 2 hinges to keep a door. One hinge is, how do I maintain my people? How do I maintain my programs? How do I maintain my properties? The second hinge is, how do I grow my people? How do I grow my programs? And how do I grow my properties? So what you got there is a bunch of stories and a workbook that you can take a look at it. And you can say, how do we need to redefine what our ministry looks like moving forward so that we can not only understand the needs, but in our part, begin to meet the needs in our yard? Any questions or comments? Because I'm about to turn it back over to the great Dr. Reverend Chaplain Mike. Anybody? Yes. Yes. So it takes at least 2 hinges to open the door. So one hinge is maintenance. How do I maintain people, programs, and my properties? I like acronyms and I like things with the same letter, you know? And then the second hinge is, how do I grow it? Because the challenge that we have is sometimes we get stuck into maintaining and we don't grow. So we have to build a team around us where leaders don't manage, and it's hard for managers to lead. So you have to build a team around you that can manage what you have while you cast the vision to grow it. I'm working on a manuscript called Tweak Before You Peak. A lot of times we wait until we peak, and then it's too late. If vision is futuristic, it means that you never arrive to it. So as you get close to vision, you have to tweak it because it's always ahead of you. How do I maintain it, and how do I grow it? Young lady, how old are you? Yeah. 16? Okay. All right. So after this session, I have that same book in a hardcover. I'm going to give that to you, okay? And it's in the book. All right. I'm from the islands, so we like to touch. Can you just grab the hand of the person next to you? If you think they went to sleep, squeeze it. Don't you sense his presence? Hallelujah. You pray us out.
Father, we just thank you for this word today, God, from Brother Carey today, God. And Lord God, we just pray, Master, that you will clean the lenses in our hearts, in our minds. And as we look at our places of ministry you've called us to, help us to see them with not our eyes, but your eyes, Lord, and your heart. Lord, we thank you for this chaplain's conference, and we thank you for everybody that's here today. We just pray that you would just continue to speak to us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.